Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is my real friend. So even though we're not talking about like contracts and, you know, coming to the Buffalo Bills, I'm still in contact with D-Hop all the time. But I did see that podcast and all the things that he was saying, and I'm sitting there watching it, all the things that he was saying. He was like, man, I want to be on a team where the front office is stable and, you know, ownership is great, and I want to play with a great quarterback.
Really, here we go.
To me, it really felt like he was talking about the Buffalo.
Von Miller from a few days ago on the Pat McAfee Show. Time for DeAndre Hopkins. Long weekend. Let's get some like NFL players on social media posting cryptic stuff. We haven't had a good cryptic post in a while.
Didn't Diggs have one? I mean, any tweet with Diggs can be considered that, though, can it? He said, what'd he say? 2 days ago. I just mind my business.
That doesn't seem cryptic.
I don't take anything personal from people I don't know personally. People get mad when you don't react how they wanted you to.
That seems all pretty straightforward.
What really makes... He's so good at trying to be cryptic because he throws a little dot, dot, dot at the end of every single tweet as though, hey, there's more here. I'm not telling you what that means.
All right. It's a long weekend. Maybe we'll get something. On the Wester Hotline, little football chatter with Mike Leone on Twitter at Two Hats, One Mike, as we gear up for, of course, you know, a Bills season.
Mike, how does your Twitter bio still say long-suffering Bills fan?
Yeah, no suffering anymore,
I feel like
right?
That's over.
I know. I need to. I think you guys called me out on this last time.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. I've been slow to update.
Director of Analytics at Establish the Run, Mike Leone on the Wester Hotline. So I was just crunching some numbers. Here's some Bills content for you, everybody out there. Joe asked me in the break, I don't know how it came up. We're talking James Cook.
I ran the Pro Football Focus simulator, their new game simulator, had James Cook over 2,000 yards from scrimmage for the season.
Which is a monster season.
Yeah. But that's between, he had 700 yards receiving in the simulation.
Okay.
Which is a big reason why. But still, 1,300 yards rushing. So I asked Jeremy in the break, what are the odds James Cook is their leader from scrimmage this year?
And then I crunched some numbers, and I put Cook's averages in with Singletary's usage. Like, if James Cook had just been given Singletary's carries and Singletary's catches, he would have put up 1,300-plus yards and been just like 100 yards and change behind Diggs for total yards from scrimmage. Cook, with Singletary's usage, has a 1,000-yard rushing season last year. So I guess, like, we talk a lot about Kincaid. We talk a lot about, of course, Diggs and Davis and Knox and how they use everybody. And here's James Cook, like, ready to step into the number one role after seeing his usage go on a big-time increase over the course of the season and into the late stages of last season.
Yeah, James Cook right now, I think he's my favorite Buffalo Bills value, you know, if you're doing early best ball drafts. And I think sometimes what happens is the expectations for rookies can be a little bit too high, and then reality sets in and they just need time to work in and get settled. And I think that's what happened with James Cook, because his ADP right now is about the same as it was last year, even though I think year two, no Devin Singletary, even with them bringing in Damien Harris, it should be higher than that. So he's one of those, you know, primary targets for me if you're going a little bit light on running back early in your draft.
And what about Harris? Is he someone that you would be thinking about just because of the unknown at the position?
Yeah, I mean, Harris right now is going off like RB 38 on Underdog, which to me is fine. I prefer Cook. I just think there's a little bit more upside with his usage in the passing game. But these guys, I mean, it's not crazy to take both of these guys. Generally, handcuffing is something that we frown upon. But I don't mind doing it when you've got two backs that have different roles in an offense that's going to put up a lot of points, and you can kind of alternate weeks between the two. That's something that's easier to do in a best ball league where you don't have to choose which one to start. But, yeah, I prefer Cook to Harris. So Harris has got the goal line role. He's going to have some of those spike weeks where he just finds the end zone. But I think he's probably priced appropriately right now.
Here's a question for you on running back usage. You know, this is regarding teams that have a bell cow versus split backfields. Last year, Singletary pretty much out-carried Cook by a 2-1 margin, you know, twice as many. And when you see teams that have a lead back, Mike, what's generally the ratio? Is it 3-1, 4-1? Is 2-1 a very normal kind of split backfield rate for teams that run two running backs?
Yeah, I think 2-1 is pretty normal. I mean, if you saw what I'm thinking of, like what Cleveland did when they had Chubb and Hunt both going at the same time, it was kind of like a 2-1 ratio in terms of carries there. So I think that's relatively normal. I mean, we're seeing teams deploy running backs in such different ways now that it's hard to have an exact baseline, but that's roughly right. I mean, we're going to see what Seattle does with Kenneth Walker and Charbs, the rookie that they brought in. I expected that to be like something 2-1. And you're also going to see just carved out roles like Seattle, kind of similar to what Buffalo is doing, you know, got Kenneth Walker as like the 2-down goal line back, and you've got Charbs as the receiving back. Buffalo is a little bit more of a mix where I don't think we're going to see Harris out carry Cook 2-1. Like, I don't think Harris is going to have the full Singletary role. I think he's going to see a reduction in carries, but he's going to have a stranglehold on the goal line role.
Mike Leone, talking some fantasy, establish the run. I think one of the big reasons we brought you on, just there's so many interesting bills for fantasy right now, especially in these best ball drafts. And watching the ADPs the last couple of weeks, Mike, with both Dalton Kincaid and especially Dawson Knox, I guess it's maybe more interesting to me Knox's fall off than Kincaid rising, where the last time I checked, is he going in like the 17th round? Like, what has the reaction negatively on Knox been overblown, or do you think it's right that he's going almost at the end now?
I think it's overblown. I think he's one of the best late tight end values right now in the established run rankings. I think he's one of our biggest values at the tight end position. And, you know, it's tough because the presence of Kincaid certainly zaps the upside a bit, but he's going off as tight end 22. And, you know, part of the upside case for Kincaid is that he's going to basically play this big slot wide receiver and not play tight end. So that means Dawson Knox is still out there playing tight end. So I don't really get that the bull case for Kincaid involves them both being on the field, yet Dawson Knox, you know, nobody wants anything to do with him right now. And I certainly see a situation where the touchdown rate for Knox drops off as Kincaid takes some of those by the goal line. But ultimately, you know, tight end's a position where you want to target guys that can fall in the end zone on a given week, especially in these best ball leagues. And that's what's going to happen when you're on one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. He's still the team's starting tight end. He's going to play plenty of snaps. So, yeah, I'm pretty in on Dawson Knox at this tag, where the fact that his upside's a little bit more limited is so baked in that it doesn't even matter if you're taking him like tight end 20.
Best ball, for those that know, is when just automatically your highest scores go into your lineup. Is Knox more for you of value in that format, or in your typical home league, would you also be in on him? My concern might be for that. I mean, he's always been this, right, though? Like, he's completely touchdown or bust for a given fantasy week.
Yeah, I think it's more of a best ball pick. I mean, in general, you just need to draft more tight ends in best ball than you do in a typical redraft league, because so many of these guys are just, you know, frankly, waiver wire fodder in a redraft league. Like, you don't have to be rostering a bench tight end, too, most of the time. And I don't think you're going to be drafting Dawson Knox as your starting tight end.
What about on Dalton Kincaid? How high would you go on Kincaid? Are you ending up with him at all, or is he going too high?
I want to chart this and find out who's the highest on Kincaid of anybody out there.
Ooh, who's ranked him higher than anybody?
Like who's really the most bullish on Kincaid in his usage? Because I find myself very much at the higher end of that. That I am expecting him to get a lot of snaps and expecting him to get a lot of targets in this offense. They traded up. It's a position that they've kind of changed their offense for a little bit. And I also read an interesting piece that, like, 12 personnel, two tight ends, is a way for the NFL to replace fullbacks. That you're getting more Swiss Army knife kind of guys out of this, more variability, right? Sal talks about this all the time. So, I don't know. Mike, your thoughts on Kincaid? There's, of course, the longer-term question, but rookie-year tight ends, I do think that we almost have to kind of abandon some of the historical stuff on tight ends because the position has changed.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And honestly, the Kincaid analysis is extremely difficult. Like, I don't want to cop out, but it's one of the hardest players for us to know what to do with because you mentioned the historical base rates of tight ends. And you can see if you're doing the micro analysis of this is a team trying to win the Super Bowl, they're not drafting like a Devy tight end in round one and trading up for one when they're in their Super Bowl window. And they clearly have a need at pass catcher. There's just not any depth on the team at pass catching. Like, you can talk yourself into like massive upside for Kincaid. But at the same time, we have historically done this before with round one tight ends, and it tends to not work out as often. So he's going off at tight end 11 on Underdog Fantasy, which is where a lot of the best ball leagues are drafted. We've got him tight end 13. I think anywhere around the 10th round is fine. If you start comparing him to the guys that go right behind him, like Dalton Schultz, Tyler Higbee, those are guys that they might be a little bit safer for volume, but they're probably not winning or losing your league. Whereas if the bull case for Kincaid hits, you know, that certainly could be a league winner.
What about for dynasty players in a rookie draft? Like, Jeremy's talked about picking him maybe with his eighth pick. Is it eight?
Six.
Six.
Four.
Right. And he has four.
I mean, like,
he has a million picks.
I don't have four, but like the idea is.
Oh, right. You're trying to get four.
Tight end one in dynasty. I mean, a couple of years ago, I took Kyle Pitts too.
Yeah, but Mike, like, for those dynasty drafts, the first round tight end, I don't feel like you see it a lot. Like, Pitts, yes, that is one, and maybe Hockenson a few years ago. But I do feel like we're going to see Kincaid in rookie drafts go first round most often, or maybe that's just me because all of my dynasty leagues are based here in Buffalo.
No, Kincaid should be going off in the first round of dynasty leagues. I think that's fair to say. I think, you know, some of the concerns in redraft, you know, in dynasty, you know, we have that longer time horizon. We're okay if maybe year one it doesn't hit quite as quickly as we're expecting it to be. In our rankings, we've actually got him tight end 3 overall in our dynasty rankings. We tend to lean a little bit more towards youth, but the thing with tight end is you get to a certain point and it just doesn't matter all that much. So I think it makes sense to take some swings on the upside where maybe the probability of him being, you know, a Travis Kelce type, like that comparison gets thrown around too often. The probability is probably pretty low, but it's at least there and exists where it doesn't exist for a lot of guys. So in tight end premium leagues, I think there's like a top six if you're playing in two quarterback super flex leagues. But after that clear top six, I think Kincaid is right there with the rookie wide receivers. If it's not tight end premium, I probably lean towards Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison a little bit. Maybe I would have Kincaid above Zay Flowers, but I don't really see a format where he should be slipping outside the top 10 in rookie drafts.
You don't mention Jackson Smith and Jigba there. Do you have him down a bit? Do you not like the fit in Seattle?
I've got him in the clear top six, actually.
Okay.
I think he's the top wide receiver one. I know people didn't love the landing spot in Seattle, but for me, like, long-term, the talent there, he was the clear wide receiver one, headed into the draft from a prospect perspective. He was the wide receiver one off the board. You know, Tyler Lockett's getting up there. We tend to overrate landing spot in dynasty. I think the talent's going to play there ultimately. And as a slot guy too, it wouldn't be crazy if in a year from now, you know, he's Seattle's target leader.
Mike Leone of Establish the Run on Twitter at Two Hats, One Mike. Mike, thanks very much. And I'm sure we'll talk again, you know, as draft season continues.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
And thanks, Mike. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do have an answer for you.
On
who has Dalton Kincaid ranked the highest.
Okay, it's not me. It might be me.
It's not you.
I'm high.
I cannot imagine in a million years you would have him ranked this high. No way.
One?
FantasyPros.com, they do their consensus rankings.
Yeah.
You're able to click on the player and see, okay, who has him ranked. So This is a group of 44 fantasy experts that they have compiled together. And you can look through where he's ranked. There are a couple people that have him ranked below 30, but only like two. And then few in the 20s.
These
22.
Are like tight end?
Tight end overall. Like okay. Ranked as this 22nd tight end. And then a lot in the teens, 15, 14. I would say the most popular place he's ranked, honestly, is tight end number 9.
Okay. This is,
but his average is right around there.
But this is for, that's for a 1 year.
For 1 year.
Not for dynasty.
There's one individual. Joe Passapia.
We're going to have to call Joe.
From Fantasy. He's from Fantasy Pros. That has Dalton Kincaid ranked for this season as his number 2 tight end.
Love it. Let's go, Joe.
No one else has him ranked above 6 except this guy who has Joe Passapia has him ranked as the number 2 tight end, I have to imagine only behind Travis Kelce.
Okay. How crazy is it?
It's insane. What does that season look like? Is that 100 catches? Is that 10 touchdowns and 100 catches? Like what is tight end? I'd want to look. I could find this. What tight end 2 usually is?
Tight end 2 last year was Hockenson.
Okay.
914 yards. And I got to find the touchdown numbers.
I will say last year I've heard was, just listening to certain podcasts, was a historically low fantasy year for the position, okay. below Travis Kelce. But 900 yards?
Yeah, 900 yards. Targets. How many targets will Kincaid get?
What does he need to have that number?
Just how many will he get? Give me a guess on... You and I have a bet on who has more catches, Kincaid or Knox, and I have Kincaid. How many targets will Dalton Kincaid get? And you throw out a number, and I'll tell you where that ranks among tight ends last year.
Okay. I'm lower on him than most, though, I think, though, for this year. Because I would say 50.
Okay. Knox had 65 last year.
Okay.
So if he had 50 targets, you think he's going to have fewer targets than, like, I mean, Kyle Pitts is actually way down the list.
He missed a lot of the year.
That's
though.
Right. Mike Gesicki had 52.
Isn't that kind of the role we've talked about for Kincaid, though?
No, because Mike Gesicki in Miami was pushed out. He had a great year. Uh-huh. They changed coach, and the coach is like, I don't really want you. And he left.
Yeah.
I'm ready to be higher on him than everybody else because
yeah.
I just think they're going to use him. They desperately needed this help.
I know. I'm not so quick to throw out the historical precedent, I think, is the thing that's holding me back. And a lot of it is, I think this is, I don't know this, I would imagine this is how every fan base sounds when they pick a first round tight end.
That's probably right.
And then it doesn't happen to the level you probably think. Maybe it won't be as low as 50. But I do not expect him to blow up this year. I think the point I made the other day, too, about like trying to explain like why is this happening with tight ends. And this is a total guess. I don't know this. But why do rookie tight ends come in and not have great years right away? And is part of it that because you don't have speed and quickness, you can't get open on your athleticism by itself. You need to have a maturity when it comes to route running.
Okay.
And you have to learn that. And is it a coincidence that the only two guys that have put up big numbers in their rookie seasons as tight ends are the two fastest tight ends in the league in Kyle Pitts and Evan Engram? Is it really about athleticism right away? Because Kincaid is not, I don't know about his quickness for that. He's not fast.
Well,
like that.
Okay. Let's talk about it like fantasy for one moment. How many of those rookie tight ends step into a job where they have both available target share
and the quarterback,
an elite quarterback?
That's the best counter I've heard because I think when someone brought that up to me, and if you look at that list, it's like none of them. Maybe right. There was one guy who had like, no, I don't even remember. There were like no elite quarterbacks.
Pitt's rookie season was with Matt Ryan, who's
right at the end, but
an accomplished quarterback.
Yep.
And they had available targets because they had nobody else.
That's right.
Evan Engram had Daniel Jones.
Or even, I think it was Eli at the end. Okay. Eli at the end. Freiermuth had Ben Roethlisberger at the end.
And what Freiermuth jumps into is a team that has established receivers.
Yeah.
Right? Like Diontae Johnson and who else? Chase Claypool at the time, I suppose. Like what Kincaid jumps into is a team that spent an entire year saying, like, man.
They had Juju, too, by the way.
They had Juju Smith-Schuster, okay?
Yeah.
He jumps into an available target share with a great quarterback. To me,
right.
I think if he is a slot tight end, I'm going to be high on it.
By the way, last year, so 2021, I should say, to get back to tight end two for a second, like what would he have to do to be tight end two? Like this guy from Fantasy Pros has him ranked. Travis Kelce 2 years ago was tight end two because Mark Andrews had such an amazing season. Kelce had 92 receptions for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. I mean, he's rookie of the year if that happens.
If Josh Allen's goal, one of the goals for the offense, is to stop taking so many plays too far down the field, okay, where do Kincaid's targets come from? Don't they come from Gabe? Don't they come from pulling the offense back into a more on-schedule, manageable, you know, you want to
well,
say
how,
Beasley role.
How low, if they're coming from Gabe, how many targets do you see Davis having this year?
Well, Davis's catch percentage, Davis's targets were not exactly low. His catches were low.
That's right. He had 93 targets last year. So if he's pulling from Davis, though, doesn't that mean Davis is what? In the 70s for targets?
Okay. Yeah. So give me 13 from Davis. Give me... like, do I feel,
all of McKenzie's?
All of McKenzie is 69. I'm at 82. I mean, Deontay Hardy's on this team, too. Shakir.
Right, there's whoever plays the slot receiver position.
You had Davis at how many targets last year?
93.
Okay, and 105 must include playoffs. Okay, yeah.
Yes, with playoffs, 105.
It's funny, I got a tweet here that says, Aaron writes in, I'm listening to Jeremy talk about Kincaid's getting me pumped up, definitely going to draft him in all my leagues. Hey, I'm not telling you it's good advice. I don't know if it's good advice.
You're going to end up with him in this rookie draft, I bet.
I mean, I've got to make a move to get him. I got to get him up because I know he'll go.
Where's your pick?
I'm picking 1, 3, and 10.
I'm wondering if you're going to talk yourself into him at 3.
I'm not going to take him 3.
There's a month until the draft still? No, not a month. There's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It's after your wedding. It's the day after your wedding.
Will you convince yourself in 2 weeks that he's the third pick in a rookie draft?
No, because I need receiver. I'm like the Bills last year. I have a really good team, except they have nobody at receiver.
But you might think you can get a receiver at 8.
At 10.
Or 10.
I could. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, little fantasy chat for you there. We got to announce our winner again of the Friday Foursome. You can register to win a Friday Foursome, WGR550.com/contest.
Congratulations to Ian H. from Lancaster, our winner for Friday Foursome at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course. A $25 Encore golf gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls. There's still more chances for you to win the Friday Foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter.
Seneca Hickory Stick, former host of a WGR 550 golf tournament.
Ooh, we
had one of those up there. Beautiful course.
Nice.
So to Ian, enjoy. We might have a Let's Get Stupid today.
I've got a Let's Get Stupid for you.
Okay, we got that. Speaking of your wedding... 2 weeks?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Wow. Very exciting stuff. Stay tuned on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward.
You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Corner. For me, it matters both in the context of success this year, but also long-term success, which matters for Buffalo, because you're getting to a point where you start looking at the last few drafts and there's not a lot of hits.
That's Mina Kimes. She gets on to talking about Kair Elam and how he could take a step forward.
Yep. She talks about learning zone coverage as he played primarily man in college. And they could certainly use that with the unknown of Tre'Davious White going forward.
Elam takes a step forward. That'd be a nice little storyline.
That would. Shouldn't they be asking more of their corners if Greg Cosell, who we played yesterday, is right that they're going to be blitzing more? Won't they need Elam to take a step forward at that point?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Would McDermott refrain from blitzing more if he wants to do that, if his corners aren't up to it?
Possibly. Hmm. Last year at corner, they spent the first half of the season without Trey,
yep.
And Elam couldn't start, and Benford was the guy for the most part. I mean, he was thrust into duty, but Benford was ahead of him, I should say.
Yep. The Bills, I brought up with Mike Leone. We brought up with Mike Leone, like, the Bills' scrimmage leader this year, James Cook, as the potential for that. It's going to be him or Diggs. That's it, right? No one else would Kincaid. I guess if he was the number two tight end in fantasy, he maybe could qualify. Who would lead the Bills in scrimmage yards? It is so funny to look back in history who the Bills' leader in scrimmage yards has been.
Really?
Yeah. You want to guess it, like, who some of these guys are?
The last what?
Some instant trivia.
The last 10...
I've got the last 20 years. We don't have to go that far.
How many players
but...
led the Bills in scrimmage yards in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
How many?
It's like eight guys.
Eight guys. Okay. Led the Bills in scrimmage yards. Okay. So Diggs has done it multiple times.
Diggs, each of the last three seasons, has been their leader. Yes.
Because passing yards don't count as scrimmage yards.
Yeah, this is just rushing and receiving.
Rushing and receiving. Okay,
rushing
Diggs.
And receiving. Diggs is correct.
Before Diggs shows up.
Yep.
Ooh. So, like, this Houston playoff year, who led them in scrimmage yards?
Yep. With 1,067.
Huh. I mean, did they have a 1,000-yard receiver? It could not have been.
John Brown.
Beasley? John Brown?
John Brown led them in receiving and scrimmage yards. He beat Devin Singletary by less than 100 yards, though.
Okay, John Brown.
I will give you a hint. Is this too big a giveaway? The point of this exercise, like this is an amazing note, but it really shows what the Bills have been. So that's 4 years in a row where a wide receiver has been their leader in scrimmage yards. Each of the previous 15 seasons, it was a running back.
Wow. That's a drought language right there.
2004 to 2018.
A running back led them in scrimmage yards.
Every single year.
So Fred.
Fred a couple of times.
Marshawn.
Marshawn did
Spiller.
Twice. Spiller did once. You're missing a guy who did it like 5 years in a row.
LeSean McCoy.
And you're missing before Lynch.
Travis Henry.
Henry before
McGahee.
This running back. McGahee. Yep.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. I missed one.
One receiver?
06.
Stevie?
Nope.
06 is a running
Eric
back?
Eric Molds?
Nope.
You're saying it's another running back?
It's not another running back.
Oh.
So they went from 07
Lee
to
Evans.
18 without a receiver. But in 06, Lee Evans.
Okay.
With 1,292, beat out Willis McGahee at 1,146. And then before that, you've got some receivers mixed in there.
Molds
a couple times. One other receiver you've not mentioned that led them in scrimmage yards in... Oh, no, you got it. Never mind.
Okay.
I was looking at Peerless Price, but Travis Henry came over top of him. So that's the list. But they've gone receiver, 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 receiver,
in years and that then, they've been good.
And then 11 running backs before that.
Wow. What? Love it. Instant trivia that, so that ends up being a drought stat.
So, which makes it sound like James Cook being their leader in scrimmage yards this year would be insane.
It would be nuts.
In this PFF simulator, he had 700 receiving yards. How on earth could he get to 700 receiving yards?
Yeah. That's
Has Allen thrown 700 yards to running backs in the last 3 years? He just doesn't do it.
Yeah. So,
one other thing real quick about the simulator. We were talking about Kincaid targets. This PFF simulation has Kincaid at 31 catches for 356 yards. Four touchdowns. They have Deontay Hardy at like 700 yards. And that has been a common theme I've seen running these, is that they have Hardy very often pretty high and Kincaid usually below him.
You know, one thing that's, I mean, everybody knows this happened, but maybe we don't think about it enough, is Jamison Crowder getting hurt changing what the Bills' passing offense would have been last year. If he doesn't get hurt, does he get most of McKenzie's targets?
Like
if,
maybe.
The reason I say that is if Deontay Hardy plays one game and then gets hurt and misses the year,
then suddenly, right, yeah, everything's different.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge that if you're one of your top three target ideas, and I think Hardy would be, is he wide receiver three, four, three?
Doesn't he start, isn't he the favorite to start week one?
Yeah.
I think so. The money says that. And his routes run numbers are like through the roof. I mentioned this the other day that his target share on routes run was top 10 in the NFL. And the other nine receivers are all superstars.
Yeah.
Like it's Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown. I think Kadarius Toney was the one other guy.
That's how often the team is throwing to him when he runs a route.
Yeah, he's getting the ball on like 30% of the routes he runs. At least he was in New Orleans.
Will you even need the Red Zone channel, Joe? YouTube TV announced on yesterday, that the Sunday ticket, if you get the Sunday ticket at home, you can have unlimited simultaneous streams.
At the same time? Like on the same screen?
No. Get as many screens as you want at home. You can you can pull up YouTube TV and you can watch. You can become a sports bar. You get 10 TVs in your house, you can get 10 streams of games. The Red Zone channel on one, all the 1 o'clock games. You don't even need the Red Zone channel. YouTube TV.
I mean, can the bandwidth at home handle that, though? That's a lot, isn't it? I got 11 streams going at the same time.
Unlimited at home and 2 more outside the home.
And 2 more outside the
home. Does that mean you can split the Sunday ticket with somebody?
I think, but I get 11 games and he only gets 2.
No. Well, sure, but
yeah.
If the Sunday ticket is the ability to just change the channel between games.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want Chris Hansen telling me when I got to change the channel, right? I'm going to miss stuff doing it that way, aren't I? I can watch a lot of screens at once. Anything over 3, too much. And I've got like 9 games going on at the same time sometimes.
But Red Zone doesn't see the future. It just checks in on a game when a team's inside the 20-yard line or whatever or something. And
kind of sees the future, doesn't it? It's showing it to me. It's like a golf. It's like a golf cast.
It's more of a recap. It's like, oh, and moments ago this was scored.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's moments ago. Michael Block's hole in one wasn't live.
Right.
For the PGA Championship, but I saw it as though it was live.
Right.
And that's going to be the same thing for Red Zone. I'm going to see Nick Chubb running for an 80-yard touchdown.
Well, if you have the screen up as a simultaneous stream, you're going to see that 80-yard touchdown.
I see what you mean. But I've got to buy 8 more TVs and find spots for 8 more TVs.
Unlimited.
I could just line my wall and like have a 360 thing. With TVs all around you, just keep spinning around like the different games?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Unlimited.
They're making it unlimited because they don't think many people are going to go for the unlimited. They're not going to get 10 screens.
No, probably not.
They're going to get 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I do need to get a second TV in the bar room downstairs. We have 1. Got to have a second screen.
I usually use a laptop as a second screen.
If you got friends coming over and like
that's
some
true.
Of them want to watch... Like, I might want to have the Stanley Cup final. They usually won't go concurrent with NBA. But if there's a hockey game and an NBA game on, some people might want to watch the NBA game, some people the hockey game. I was having people over for one of the hockey games a couple weeks ago, and my one friend didn't come over because he's a giant Knicks fan.
And why do
I watch the Knicks? I gotta watch the Knicks.
803-0550. When we get back, one thing I noticed in Dallas and Vegas in the game last night, a hierarchy in the NHL that I think we should all agree upon.
And at some point, I've got a Tom Brady conspiracy theory for you.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is loose up top, Haskinen, left side shot, score! Pavelski, a one-timer! Joe Pavelski keeps the Dallas season alive and sends this series back to Vegas.
Listening to the Stars do some of the interviews about not having Jamie Benn, boy, they talked about him like he suffered an injury and there was some sort of adversity here brought on by Jamie Benn cross-checking a player in the face and getting suspended for 2 games.
Yep.
Hey, here's the hierarchy I think we should all agree upon. We don't really...
Hockey hierarchy?
Yeah, here's a hockey hierarchy. TNT's broadcast is miles better than ESPN's. Watching ESPN miles. Last night,
yep.
Miles... what's another... What is it...
it's not even... It's like it's
light
not even...
Years? What's a, yeah, what's light a unit years. That's... Yeah, it's... It's much better. TNT is much better than ESPN. The ESPN intermission, oof.
It's the same as NBC.
Yes, it is. It's the old NBC.
It is just, hey, what's the message in the room? And then cliche,
pucks
cliche,
to the net,
cliche.
Pucks to the net. You know, skate hard and play pucks to the net. I mean,
yeah.
It's Chelios and Messier dropping 10 cliches last night.
Ugh.
And I just think... Yeah, I
no
think,
personality to it.
I think TNT's done a better job. I like PK Subban generally.
Subban's fine. It's like, though, Subban's fine. It's like, I would love to see him on TNT. Because TNT just provides the environment where just be yourself, do whatever,
yeah.
Fool around a little bit. We had Liam McHugh on a couple weeks ago, and he kind of put voice to that.
Yep.
That they don't take themselves too seriously, and they let you be you, and it's not dry. And, I mean, Bissonnette on that broadcast, like they also like go after guys that have character. In terms of like, hey, this guy can be funny once in a while. And Subban, I would love to see Subban on the TNT broadcast. Whether ESPN, it's like, nah, just kind of, we're going to fit you into a box here. ESPN is Ralph Kruger. And TNT is Don Granato. We're going to let you breathe a little bit. Let you skate around.
Yeah, I think it's much better, TNT. Nothing tonight. Nothing. No series.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Not even the Amherst tonight.
Nope.
Not even the Bandits tonight. Nothing.
What do you do?
Golf. Well, you can't golf tonight. You can night golf, I guess. What do you do tonight?
What do you watch?
Tonight's the night to be outside, I think. Go find a patio.
Patio night.
Somewhere. It's although, good. Is it going to be cold again tonight? It's been cold at night.
It has been cold at night. The low tonight, last night it was 40. The low tonight appears to be 44.
Tonight is a night, then, if I'm watching any TV, where I am catching up on Succession. Because I am 2 episodes behind on that.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll ever get to that show.
You tried it, didn't you?
We just got away from it. It wasn't bad. It was just, yeah, watched season one, part
uh-huh.
of it, and just got away from it.
It, I do need it right now because I've fallen off on a lot of my other shows.
All of the reviews,
like Ted Lasso.
All the reviews of it I see are that it's very good, but it's also just like the saddest, most miserable bunch of people on earth.
It is.
It is not exactly an uplifting experience to watch.
No, it it can be funny to watch them, you know, go round and round. But yeah, it's a show where you kind of hate every character.
Yeah.
And you just have to decide which one you hate the least and which one you hate the most. And everybody has a different one. But yeah, you don't really like anybody in the show. But they're such idiots that you're okay hating them all because they're going to give you repeated moments to kind of just revel in, oh my gosh, look how big of a moron this guy is.
803-0550, we got to get a wedding idea of the day in the final hour.
Yep. I've got a scenario for you in which Tom Brady returns to the NFL.
Okay, a conspiracy.
Yep. I don't even think it's a conspiracy. It makes sense. It's all over Reddit.
He's going to be a part owner of the Raiders?
Yep. That's like already in, I guess. Like they just need a final approval from the league that he's going to be a part owner of the Raiders.
You know, it would take massive steps for him to play again as part owner of the Raiders. Like and every owner would have to sign off on it.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that was only the case with the Dolphins because. Well, maybe. I thought because he... No, never mind. It was because he hadn't retired. I thought maybe it was because he was still under contract with the Bucks.
No, but for him to be a player and owner, I'm pretty sure every owner would have to approve. Would they?
Every single owner?
Yeah. Or maybe it has to be 24 of them?
Yeah, would any owner give them reason to not do it?
I mean, I'd vote no. If I owned a team. No.
Would Kraft vote for it?
We are exhausted, man. He's not coming back. I'm actually comfortable saying it now.
I've
allowed myself to get there.
I think
he's not coming back.
Maybe we can get to it at some point. The Raiders might have to do something. The story yesterday was they don't know when Garoppolo will be back. He just had to have a foot procedure. Because whatever procedure he had with his foot after the 49ers season didn't go completely as planned. And yesterday it was the Raiders don't know when he's back. Maybe they're fine.
Maybe.
Maybe they need to look for a quarterback. And the guy that's upstairs now, he can play quarterback. And their backup's like Nick Mullins. So
803-0550. We talked a little Amherst today, recapped that. I want to talk about 3-0, the mentality of a 3-0 lead, because we're watching a couple of them wither away. So reset that a little bit as well here as we chat. Take it through a Friday on the way to a long weekend. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.